The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. It is Tuesday, July 13th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, home of the 2010 Normal National Conference. All sorts of details starting to emerge on that. We'll fill you in as we have them. And joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-assed sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, Radical.
Oh, the crowd has gone wild for you, Carrie. They love you.
And I love the crowd.
Carrie brings us our headlines right after our first break. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to go to California and look at a model city there that's passing some new regulations and cover that. A top health official in one of our beautiful 50 states is advocating voters to not vote for medical marijuana, not a big surprise there. And a cannabis activist hero has a celebration on Saturday, and we're going to cover what he was celebrating.
All right. Are you okay up there? It sounded like somebody ran through the studio.
Oh, no, nice and quiet here. Are you sure it's not on your end?
It could be. I'm not sure. We're having trouble holding things down here because, as you know, our engineer, Ganja John, is not with us today.
We miss him desperately.
Yeah, we do miss him. I just visited him in the intensive care unit at Oregon Health and Sciences University, which meant I got to ride the tram for the first time, Carrie. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I got to do that last Thursday when I was in Portland, and I'm going to be doing that once every 3 weeks. I have a girlfriend who's going through chemotherapy, and I'm her chemo partner, and that tram is cool. I mean, it doesn't really make up for the fact that you're there because you have some terrible medical thing wrong with you, but it sure is fun.
Yeah, yeah, and John is in the ICU. He was in a lot of pain. He was admitted to Oregon Health Sciences University. If folks don't know, John's our engineer. He suffers from kidney failure, and he's trying to get a kidney transplant. But on top of that, he's been blind in his left eye for most of his life, and he's got a cyst that's behind that eye, and it's just causing incredible pressure. He was admitted to OHSU with the highest pressure they've ever registered, an 86. Now, for comparison's sake, your normal eye pressure is about a 5. So he was in extreme amount of pain, but the doctors helped him out. We'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the show. I've got a radical rant. We're going to send our best wishes out to Ganja John. He'll be back as soon as he possibly can. In other news coming up on today's show, it is Electric Tuesday. We are going to be hearing a song. Sarah Kant from Boston brings us Mungo's Hi-Fi and a song called Herbalist. In our cannabis conversations at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be speaking with Dale Sky Clare. She is a spokesperson for Proposition 19, the initiative to legalize cannabis for personal use in California. There's some new polling numbers we're also going to tell you about on that. And then toward the end of the show, the California Marijuana Report, Eric Brenner joins us with an interview of Kim Pelham. She is with Going Green, one of the collectives in California. So she'll be here to talk about what's going on with the prosecutions and the raids down there. And of course, at the end of the show, The Radical Rant, we're going to say get well to Ganja John and try to roust all of our listeners into helping us out with that. He misses all of you. He's totally missing the show. And we'll be right back after this. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Normal Show Live is brought to you by our advertisers and supported by the generous tax-deductible donations of our listeners. If you'd like to make a monetary donation to the show, visit secure.normal.org/donate. Fill in the dollar amount and specify Normal Show Live in the comments. If you'd like to donate equipment or items to be used for prize promotions on the show, please send them to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. If you need a receipt for tax deduction purposes, please indicate the value of the items you are donating. Thank you for contributing to the fight for your own freedom.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
San Francisco has passed new rules last week regulating the sale and distribution of medical cannabis in edibles, items like cookies, muffins, and brownies. The Bay City has long been seen as an industry leader in the field of medical marijuana, and the new rules are bringing praise from marijuana advocates who see regulation and taxation as the way towards mainstream acceptance. Announced by the San Francisco Department of Public Health, the new regulations require any baked good that contains marijuana be individually wrapped and include a label that lists the exact amount of cannabis in the product. The new rules also prohibit candy products that may be attractive to children. Meanwhile, no one under legal age may be present during the baking or manufacturing process. If a dispensary offers hot or cold products, such as warm cookies or a cold milkshake, then they must now have a special permit from the Public Health Department, much like any other food vendor is required to obtain to serve warm or cold food products. Many activists are seeing the new regulations as a step in the right direction if California legalizes cannabis for all adults. Product safety is one luxury that cannabis consumers haven't been able to depend on during the last 75 years of prohibition. And the new rules will help cannabis become a more mainstream product. Proposition 19, the legalization ballot measure that Californians will vote on this November, will allow local governments to set their own rules regarding the sale and distribution of legal cannabis, potentially adding hundreds of new rules across the state in the next few years if passed. California always makes election days interesting. This year will be no exception.
Yeah, this is good news to hear coming out of Oakland as far as regulating these edibles. It's always been kind of a weird thing, the edibles market, because on one side you're dealing with medicine, and on the other side you're dealing with food, right? So a lot of the laws that are in place that would deal with the manufacture and distribution of food don't have anything in them to deal with a medical product being baked in them. And then vice versa, the laws that have to deal with medical products don't really have much to do with how you prepare food. So for Oakland to, you know, be a headline, a leader in this and trying to come up with some sensible regulations, kudos to them. Of course, Oakland's always been, you know, pretty sensible when it comes to their marijuana regulations. We'll be talking with Dale Skyclair later in the show from Oaksterdam University. She is the chancellor of Oaksterdam, and she can give us a little bit of perspective on that as well. So good news coming out of the edibles industry.
Arizona's top health official is asking voters to reject a ballot measure that would legalize medical marijuana in the Grand Canyon State. Will Humble, the director of Arizona's Department of Health and Human Services, has admitted that there would be some people who may benefit from using medical cannabis. He said that, according to health chiefs in other states with medical marijuana, that the vast majority of medical marijuana cards are issued to people with severe and chronic pain, which, according to Humble, is at best subjective. He then said that there is no evidence that marijuana actually alleviates pain. several statements in opposition to Proposition 203, along with law enforcement officers and county prosecutors who are also urging the public to vote no on the medical marijuana measure, will be laid out in a pamphlet and mailed to the homes of all registered voters in the state. Humble said his decision has nothing to do with his feelings about marijuana, admitting to having inhaled when he was a student at Northern Arizona University in the late 1970s. But he said that the initiative is based on a flawed premise about what marijuana can do, and he believes that the chronic pain as a reason to get a medical marijuana card opens up the floodgate of abuse of the system. Humble says that the few hundred people that may benefit from a medical marijuana program isn't worth the thousands, in his opinion, that will abuse medical marijuana when they could use over-the-counter treatments like ibuprofen. The Arizona health official was cleared, taking a public position of a measure from the governor's office.
Well, Will Humble is one of those kind of people that should have their own special circle of hell reserved for them. First of all, it always blows my mind to come upon someone who used to smoke marijuana in their own past and yet think that other people smoking marijuana for the same reasons he did ought to be punished. That bothers me in the first place. But in the second place, the idea that we gotta let cancer patients or AIDS patients or glaucoma patients or people with spasticity or seizures to suffer because he thinks that some people might be doing it because they're faking chronic pain. First of all, people are not faking chronic pain to get their medical marijuana cards. People live in pain. 25% of the United States adults live with some sort of chronic recurring pain every year. And we're popping NSAIDs and acetaminophens and all of these over-the-counter drugs that are horrible for our livers and for our liver and other organs. We're popping them like candy. And we could be using marijuana, which is shown to be non-toxic to healthy cells and organs. But this guy calls it abuse. What is this abuse that he's talking about? People getting relief from pain? That's the abuse here, and we don't want that to happen. If you know, we're going to let the cancer patients and all these other patients suffer, or as he says, to use other conventional therapies, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, which means pharmaceuticals, which means high prices and insurance and having to see a doctor and all these costs that a lot of people who are suffering with cancer and these other diseases can't afford. They're on disability. This is another big reason they want to get onto the medical marijuana programs, is they find it can cut back on how much of those expensive and toxic and addictive and heavily side-affected drugs that the doctors are putting them on. Every medical marijuana patient I've ever talked to has told me he's been able to cut his drug regimen in half or even into a third by using medical marijuana. How offensive this Will Humble of the Health and Human Services of Arizona, how offensive can you be, man, to say that some people should suffer because other people might try to cheat? I hope to God that nothing terrible befalls you or your family that could be reviewed by the use of medical marijuana, and through your obstinance, they'd be turned into criminals for trying to get that relief. I hope to God that never happens to you.
And one of our heroes, Irvin Rosenfeld, has been smoking marijuana provided by the government since 1982 when he became a patient in the FDA's investigational drug program. The 56-year-old stockbroker from Fort Lauderdale set a record of sorts on Saturday when he lit up his 115,000th joint, courtesy of Uncle Sam. Rosenfeld, a longtime cannabis activist, has the federally grown cannabis delivered to his local pharmacy. It is shipped from the University of Mississippi, where it is cultivated and rolled into joints for a small group of people still alive and on the dead-end federal program. Rosenfeld suffers from a rare bone disorder and has been getting 300 joints every 25 days for the past 27 years. He said that he smokes on average between 10 and 12 joints a day. He and three others have been allowed to continue the program, even though it officially ended in 1992. Rosenfeld shared the news of his historic 115,000th joint with local media on Saturday, saying that he wouldn't be alive without it, and he would have been bedridden long ago with his particular health issues. He takes no other medicines, unlike others who share his condition, but are unable to legally obtain cannabis. Irvin says that others may live as healthy as he has been able to if only allowed the same access to medical marijuana. As for opponents that think marijuana is a dangerous substance, he says they only need to take one look at his life to see the benefits of allowing cannabis use. Irvin Rosenfeld is writing a book on his experiences as the nation's longest-running legal pot smoker and hopes to have it published next spring.
Oh, thank you so much, Carrie, for that record. Yeah, Irv Rosenfeld. He's a friend of the show. We actually interviewed him at the High Times Medical Cannabis Awards back in June. I've got the recordings of that. I think I posted them up at stash.normal.org. But if I didn't, I'll get them into the rotation as part of our podcast. We did two mini shows while we were there, half-hour shows. One was with Irv Rosenfeld, and the other one was with Dr. Frank Lucido. And the thing about Irv and this program, this is the Investigative New Drug Program. This was started back in 1978 when a patient named Robert Randall sued the federal government. He had glaucoma, and he sued the federal government saying, hey, look, when I smoke pot, it relieves my glaucoma and prevents me from going blind. But of course, if I smoke pot, I'm a criminal, you could lock me up, and when you lock me up, I wouldn't have my marijuana, and I'd go blind. So basically, you're forcing me to go blind. And in this lawsuit, he won, and this forced the federal government to have to create this program, the Investigative New Drug Program. And this program was created in 1978 for one guy. The whole program was created just to satisfy the conditions of that lawsuit by Robert Randall. But of course, once the news got out about that, more patients started to sue, and Irv was one of the patients that got into this program. He has this congenital exostosis. It's this this disease that causes painful growth on his joints and bones. It's awful. And cannabis has been shown, he's found in his life, that it's helped to reduce the pain from that disease and the progression of that disease. So Irv got on the program. LV Musica, she's lives here in Oregon. I know her as well. She's on the program. And eventually 13 people got onto this program by having to sue. Each one of them had to sue to get on this program. Now, you've also got to understand that in the context of the government making this investigative new drug program, they've known for a long time that there's medical benefit to cannabis. In 1974, we have studies that came out of in the United States that showed that cannabis had anti-tumoral properties. That is, the injection of THC into cancer cells kind of works like a magic bullet. It kills the cancer without killing the surrounding cells. We've known this for over about 30 years now. So they know there's medicinal benefit to cannabis. They started this investigative new drug program. Now, understand, these tins that Irv is getting, Irv and Elvie and the four other patients that still live, these tins of marijuana they're getting come from the University of Mississippi, which is the only legal pot farm in the United States. It's under international treaty, the 1961 Drug Convention. And what they do is they grow the worst possible marijuana you could grow and still call it marijuana. Right? Like, if you were trying to set the baseline for where's the line between industrial hemp and medicinal marijuana, you know, how low could you go before it would turn into hemp? That line runs right through the University of Mississippi's pot farm. Okay? It's lousy weed. And when they process this weed for Irv and the other patients, they're not manicuring the buds like you'd have in a dispensary. No, 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 no. They take the whole damn plant, throw it in the shredder, shred it all up, sticks, stems, seeds, leaf, bud, all together, and then that's what gets rolled up into these joints. So they're very low potency joints. They don't have a lot of effect for these patients. But, you know, they get 300 of them. Irv has to drive to his pharmacy. He picks them up at his pharmacy. And yet the federal government wants to tell us there's no such thing as medical marijuana. What happened is while this program was in effect, by the early 90s, we started to have the AIDS epidemic, and Dennis Perone and the patients that were creating the collectives out there in the Bay Area started suing to get on that investigative new drug program because they found out that cannabis helped with the AIDS wasting syndrome, helped people to have appetites and so on. And George H.W. Bush, oh, he wasn't going to have a whole bunch of people, you know, AIDS activists getting on these rolls as federal medical marijuana patients. Why? They might find out that the stuff actually works. So they closed the program and grandfathered in the people who were still alive. And to this day, there are just four of them left with the University of Mississippi's pot farm growing weed and sending it to them every month. And on top of that, the federal government has a patent. Look this up at patentstorm.us. You can look this up. Number 633-0507, a patent for cannabinoids as pain relief. This is the government's own patent, people. So never, ever believe them when they're telling you there's no such thing as medical marijuana, because even they don't believe it. Oh my goodness, it's time to take a break. It's not quite the same without Ganja John here, I gotta tell you though. Anyway, we'll have our best break. You folks in the East Coast, happy 420. We're back in a minute.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
This is Normal Show Live.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
Providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
I don't care what you say. That ain't right. I said, that ain't right. That ain't right. I don't care what you say. That
ain't right. Don't drop on you, Doc.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sarah Kant in Boston, Massachusetts, and Sarah Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org or mail your CD to Normal Outreach, 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Welcome back. We are 23 after the hour. Excuse me, I've gone dyslexic. And it's been vacation, and we've been away for a while, but it's good to be back on the phone in Boston, Massachusetts with Sarah Kant, our Tuesday music editor. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Russ. It's good to be back. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's the update on the little one, the impending baby?
She's doing very good. She's very kicky. Very kicky.
Very kicky in the summertime.
And big. And I'm big. Pardon?
Very kicky in the summertime, huh?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Strange, but it's cool.
All right. Well, let's hear about this song that we've got for today's Electric Tuesday.
All right. Mongo's Hi-Fi are a dubstep and reggae band from Glasgow, Scotland in Great Britain. It's a city close to my own heart as I lived there for 6 years. Their name comes from St. Mungo, the patron saint and founder of Scotland's second city. Regularly playing the Glasgow School of Art, which is also where I learned how to DJ, their upcoming dates include festivals in Denmark, the Czech Republic, the UK, including the Glastonbury Festival, and more. Bringing Home a Summer, Herbalist featuring Top Cat is a dubstep track originally released in 2008 from the album Sound System Champions. This song delightfully glorifies cannabis and those who use it with a beat-heavy party vibe and electronic stylings mixed with traditional reggae influences. This toker tune speaks for itself. Vinyl, CDs, downloads, dub plays, clothing, and gig tickets are available at Scotch Bonnet Records. Learn more about the incredible Mungo's Hi-Fi all over the internet at their website and blog, Facebook, MySpace, YouTube, Twitter, Flickr, and SoundCloud, links will be up on the Stash very soon.
All right. Yeah, head out to the Stash. We've got the links up there right now. And, Sarah, thanks so much for bringing this tune. It's Mungo's Hi-Fi, Herbalist, featuring Top Cat for your Electric Tuesday Daily Toker Tune.
Tell them already, me, I tell them again. Tell them already, me, I tell them again. So we are herbalists. Aye, we are herbalists. Badam, dam, dam, aye. Tell them already, me, I tell them again. Tell them already, me, I tell them again. So we are herbalists. Aye, we are herbalists. Badam, dam. But tell them, how would you feel if you wake up one morning and saw a big fat ganja spliff laid on your jaw? You want like this spliff, but you know that you can't. Somebody thief your lighter. How would you feel if you're coming from dance and you're red, with ganja and alcohol swimming on your head? You want reach a yard and you want go to bed, but you often go work instead. Plenty man, the mood to say. Me often like this spliff, but they hit out of your stray. Plenty man, the mood to say. And the boss in all the swimming at the workplace today, cause we are herbalists. We are herbalists. Badang dang dem tell them already, me I tell them again. Tell them already, me I tell them again. So we are herbalists. Aye, we are herbalists. Badang dang dem tell them already, me I tell them again. Tell them already, me I tell them again. Say me love the sense of me, I use me love with my friend. It's a special dedication to the herbalist them. We are fully for lyrics for the good sling thing. Now you come miss some cat out with the next one again. So we are herbalists. Aye, we are herbalists. Me take me pipe and blaze that. 1 ounce of herb quick time, we are done that. After we are rush on the herb and we fold that. 10 pound of herb guns and in our knapsack. But the custom and the immigration won't stop that. Ask me a check but still them can't find that. Take with the knapsack and Africa bring back. Them can't stop that, God just bless that. Believe that. Now we are herbalists. Aye, we are herbalists. Badang dang dem tell. Tell them already, me I tell them again. Tell them already, me I tell them again. So we are herbalists. Aye, we are herbalists. Badang dang. But tell them already, me I tell them again. Tell them already, me I tell them again. Say me love the sense of me, like yes we love it, my friend. It's a special dedication to the herbalist then. We have fully for lyrics for the good slang thing. Now you come miss a cat with the next one again. So we are herbalists. Aye, we are herbalists. Badang dang. Tell them how would you feel if you wake up one morning and saw a big fat ganja spliff laid on your jaw. You want like this spliff but you know that you can't. Somebody leave your lighter. How would you feel if you're coming from dance and you're red, with ganja and alcohol swimming on your head? You want reach a yard and you want go to bed, but you want to go work instead. Plenty money for the stay. Me often like the spliff but they ain't out of your stray. Plenty money for the stay. That the boss and I'll go see we're not the workplace today. Cause we are herbalists. Aye, we are herbalists. Badang dang, we tell them already, me I tell them again. We call it, tell them already, me I tell them again. So we are herbalists. Aye, we are herbalists. Badang dang, we tell them already, me I tell them again. Tell them already, me I tell them again. So we love the sense of me, like yes, we love it, my friend. It's a special dedication to the herbalist them. We are fully by lyrics, but the good slang thing. Now you come miss a cat with the next one again. Cause we are herbalists. Aye, we are herbalists. Badang dang.
That's Mungo's Hi-Fi, Herbalist, featuring Top Cat. It's available up on our blog, stash.normal.org. Check it out. You can get a download. Add it to your collection.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. This year, the Drug Czar's office has a $60 million budget for advertising their Reefer Madness propaganda. We here at Normal don't have that kind of money, but we've got two weapons for fighting back. Your donations and the truth. Please, make a donation to Normal so we can continue to expand this podcast and our other media campaigns. Even a donation of $4.20 can help. Visit us on the web at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL NORML. Thank you for caring and sharing.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our normal daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we go out to the Bay Area of California to speak by telephone with Dale Sky Clare, spokesperson for Proposition 19. Dale, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning or good afternoon, Russ. Actually, I'm in L.A. today.
Oh, you
visiting
are?
Visiting our southern campus. Yeah, we sure are. We've got a new campus in Atwater Village.
Oh, fantastic. That's great to hear. And we've been on vacation for a couple weeks, and since we were gone, you guys finally got your number, your Proposition 19. What's some of the latest news for the campaign?
Oh, goodness. There's just been so much going on lately. It's actually very exciting. And thank you so much for having me on the show. Welcome to all of your listeners. Prop 19, well, the biggest news I would say is we finally got a name. Just being able to call it Prop 19 makes it a lot easier than the Control, Regulate, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010. I would say that recently the most exciting news is support of the NAACP.
Yes.
Having Alex Huffman come out and support recognizing racial disparities, not just for Black Americans, but for, quite frankly, Hispanics, any type of ethnic descent is seeing just horrific disparities in both arrest and prosecution rates.
Mm-hmm.
And it really points out that this is a social justice issue.
Now Dale, was this endorsement from the California NAACP, was this something that the campaign sought out, or did the California NAACP recognize this issue on their own and want to jump on board?
Well, that's what's so remarkable. Much like the labor unions that approached us towards the end of last year, Alex Huffman called us and said, I've had an epiphany. I get it. I see it. And the problem is not cannabis. The problem is in prohibition. And she threw her full support behind us and has been working with us ever since.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful press conference a couple weeks ago that also brought out more broad support, not just from people of color, but people of faith. We had several representatives from various churches, as well as president of the Black Chamber of Commerce. And we had the president for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Neil has been to be a very eloquent speaker on our behalf as well. So it was a privilege and honor to sit on such an esteemed panel discussing this. Yeah. And the effect on the community.
Yeah, and that's definitely a community we need to reach out to. I've been watching some of the headlines and some of the stories coming out of California, and I've heard of a Bishop Allen down there who's a prominent leader in the Black religious community who's come out against this and has had all sorts of scare stories of what would happen, and even kind of tried to portray legalization as a way of keeping the Black community down. How is the campaign responding to that in their outreach to the Black religious community?
Well, to a large degree, what we found is the Good Reverend actually represents a rather fringe organization of the Black community. He has been very vocal and very outspoken and prominent in the sense that he's able to get himself very successfully in the news. But when you look at the amount of support that he has, it's actually small numbers. By and large, as folks educate themselves, they're realizing that this is a well-written proposition, that it does look at many issues and opportunities to improve both inner cities, communities of color, and frankly, California as a whole.
You know, there's been polls that have been coming out on this since it's gotten the number, and everyone, you know, not just in California, but nationwide are very interested in these polls. Recently, a California field poll came out with a kind of a sad number here, 44% support, 48% opposition. But now just recently, a Survey USA poll came out with 50% support, 40% opposition. That's some pretty broad distance between those two different polls. What do you attribute that to? And I guess I could probably guess which poll you prefer.
Well, I actually prefer a majority of the polls, which do show us in the majority or at least breaking even. Frankly, there have been multiple field polls, and most of them show us either ahead. And one of the more conservative polls showed us dead even. So if you have not so friendly verbiage in a field poll and you're still pulling such numbers, I think we're doing pretty well. The Ramsey Corporation put out some interesting information simultaneous to the more negative of the two field polls. And you can kind of feel a little bit swift-voted with the two coming out back-to-back. They've definitely been talking points of the opposition. But there's a couple of interesting points that came out of both as well. When it comes to the field poll of 44 to 48, it shows a terrific amount of recognition for our issue, over 70%, which is 20 points higher than the next closest issue on the November ballot. So we are, at the very least, rather popular as far as discussions think. The other fascinating point I found is that those that are aware of the proposition like it overwhelmingly. And most of the no's come from the side that has not read it yet or were not aware of it. So to know the issue is to appreciate and why we've been building such a coalition around Prop 19. Because once you read it, you realize that it really is a common sense approach to change. The politicians are suggesting that we just continue a policy, that things remain the same, and we're ready to take it to the voters. And it seems as though the voters have agreed that it's time to really take an opportunity to have these safer communities, to redirect police resources, and really just our general resources towards what matters most, education, and safer streets, healthcare opportunities, public safety, our roads, and transportation.
You know, when I look at these polls, every time I look at a poll that ever has to do with marijuana, I'm reminded of something in politics they call the Bradley effect. And this had to do with, you know, an African-American gentleman running, and people would say, yes, I would vote for him when they were asked because they felt that that was the right thing to say. Mm-hmm. Right, Los Angeles, that was the right thing to say. But once they got to the secrecy of the polling booth, they went and would vote for the white candidate. I'm wondering, do you think there's such a thing as a reverse Bradley effect when it comes to marijuana, where people will say, no, I won't vote for that because they think that's the expected thing to say, but in the privacy of the voting booth, they'd actually go for it?
I actually subscribe to that. I agree that there will likely be this. And frankly, I mean, even myself, somebody calls me on the phone, a stranger, and says, you know, do you smoke pot? Do you want to smoke pot? Do you want it to be legal? I would question for a minute, well, who are you and why are you asking?
Yeah.
So there's an awful lot, and I know how to answer that question. So it's very difficult for your average American to really have that type of conversation with a total stranger on the telephone, especially if they have a job or, you know, their 13-year-old sitting next to them on a couch. So it's a very sticky issue, and I do believe that the voters are ready for change. We have to get our voters motivated.
Okay.
And, you know, frankly, this is important for the cannabis community as a whole. Even the RAND Corporation pointed out, while they can't get a hold at all of really what's going to happen, and I'll also point out that the report was based on Tom Amiano's bill, not on ours.
Right.
So even that's a rather erroneous representation of what we're trying to do. But the truth of the matter is that RAND suspects that the price will drop. And wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah.
if the price did drop. You know, we might put some drugs ourselves out of business to boot.
Yeah.
So you know, even if this horrible worst-case scenario, you know, allegedly happens, I think we win.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I agree with that. We're speaking with Dale Sky-Clair, spokesperson for Proposition 19 in California. I've got a question from our live chat room. They want to know, if Prop 19 passes, do you think the feds would sue California, kind of like they're suing Arizona now over that immigration law?
That's an excellent question. And while my crystal ball is rather fuzzy on that, all indications show that if you pass a law on a state level that is not in direct conflict with federal law, and Prop 19 was carefully, very carefully crafted to not be in conflict with federal law, that the feds have already stated the policy that they're not going to interfere. It seems as though President Obama does believe in the 10th Amendment, that states do have rights. And again, I don't feel as though the federal government is necessarily going to throw its resources, although it's been quite clear tactic.
Of course, California this year has a lot of other very important things going on the ballot with regard to initiatives and, of course, you know, governor's race and so on. And a lot of people are pointing to 2010 as a possible conservative resurgence, maybe a rebuke of the Obama administration at this point. And so Democrats, progressives are looking for ways to get out the vote. Have you got any indication from Democratic candidates that they might see this marijuana issue as a get out the vote for younger voters who tend to vote more progressively?
Remarkably, Democratic leadership has stated out loud that what is going to get their base to the polling booth is one word, marijuana. So the Democratic leadership has acknowledged this issue, that this is going to be what drives the vote. When you look at the disparity between a general election and a midterm election, what you're basically seeing in that 20-point drop are Democrats and Libertarians not showing up. And so our biggest challenge is going to be getting out the vote. And we intend to do that largely through absentee ballots or at-home voting, which is awesome. You don't have to go wait in line. You don't have to drive anywhere. The ballot shows up along with an explanation well in advance of the vote. You can sit on your couch, read all about it. As you pass the initiative, you can pass the get you to the left-hand side, drop it in the mail, and you're done. And you're counted. You're on the paper. This is going to be a mail letter. We're going to come down to the very wire. There's no question. And when they challenge the results and, you know, the Diebold machine suddenly goes wonky, you know, you have an opportunity to have a paper receipt as well as having saved your time and energy.
Yeah.
But getting counted. And
yeah,
this is going to be very important.
Well,
the main folks are against it. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we realize and contact folks like Jerry Brown and Kamala Harris that if they accept the beat, Cooley and
Whitman,
that
alienating
their base right now is not the way to do it.
Yeah. We have a lot of questions that are popping up in our chat room. Unfortunately, we're running low on time here. So I was wondering, Dale, do you guys have an email address where our folks could email you questions and maybe we could go over the responses on an after show sometime?
Yeah, we could absolutely talk about doing that. And hopefully most folks can get their questions answered by simply going to our website at taxcannabis.org. And at taxcannabis.org, we have broken down a lot of the main concerns, the questions, and even responded to some of the smart remarks to help assuage the concerns and fears. It's important to understand what Prop 19 does and what Prop 19 doesn't do. And if you go to the taxcannabis.org website, many of those can be answered. In the meantime, you could email me at dale@taxcannabis.org. That's D-A-L-E. However, depending on how many people email me, be gentle on how long it takes me to get back to you. But I would love to do that, absolutely.
And I'm sure as the campaign goes on, we're going to hear more and more from California, and we'll get you back on the air to answer more questions.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right. Dale Sky-Clair from Chancellor of Oaksterdam University, also Proposition 19 spokesperson. Thanks so much for joining us. When we come back, California Marijuana Report, we're going to be speaking with Kim Pelham, owner of the, what is the group called? Going Green in Corte Madera, California. We're right back after this.
Thank you.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. Every Tuesday, we're joined by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report on the radio at KRXA AM 540 in Monterey. Now, here's another great interview with Eric Brenner.
Hi, this is Chief Mayor, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
And we're following a breaking news story here on the California Marijuana Report this week. A cease and desist order issued for the two cannabis dispensaries in Corte Madera, California. This has been issued by the town council with the blessing of the mayor. We are now joined by Kim Pelham. Kim, you're the owner of Going Green. This is one of the two dispensaries that has been ordered to shut down on June 25th. Kim, welcome to the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you, Eric.
Kim, tell me what's going on.
We've been working with the City Council and the Planning Commission for approximately a year on crafting an ordinance, and which would include our licensing of our dispensary as well as another dispensary in Corte Madera. About 3 weeks ago, apparently several parents from the local PTA showed up at a council meeting that didn't have medical marijuana on the agenda. They showed up and complained. They've gotten wind of our licensing through the paper when the Planning Commission announced it, and apparently they were not happy with us being there at all. They were unaware that we were there. Were angry that we had been there for a year, the council had known, and that they had not been told. And upon their request, the council did a in closed session, they did a vote, I guess, to have a cease and desist order issued out to our collective as well as the other existing collective in Corte Madera. And we received that 2 weeks ago this Friday. We're supposed to close up on the 25th.
What type of action are you taking, Kim?
Currently, we're petitioning. We're trying to get signatures primarily from Corte Madera residents as well as other Marin County residents, not just patients, but actual residents and business owners in Corte Madera. And we're hoping that turning the signatures in to the Corte Madera Planning Commission and City Council will make them aware that there's a huge need there in Marin County, and also that we have a huge number of support. Unfortunately, we weren't able to show any support at the council meeting because we were unaware it was going to be coming up at all as an issue. So we're hoping that the council will at least work with us at that point and sit down and see if there's anything we can do to rectify the situation at this point.
Kim, talk to me about these so-called concerned parents of Corte Madera. How many of these so-called concerned parents showed up at this meeting?
There were 6 to 7 that spoke at the initial meeting, and I believe there were about maybe 10 that showed up at the second meeting, which was last week when we actually showed up at the council meeting to talk to the city council ourselves as patients.
What is their concern? What is their problem here, Kim? What's the problem?
Well, the biggest concern is they seem to think that we are the supply of the marijuana for the high school. They said there's a huge drug problem at Redwood High School, which is the high school in our district, and they seem to think that it's directly related to a collective being there.
What kind of proof do they have? Have you asked them that?
Actually, they didn't have anything that they had brought up. In fact, at the first planning commission, they had the police chief there, and he spoke for about 45 minutes, actually, on how well we've been regulating ourselves as far as not letting minors in, and as far as they've tried to send in minors, they tried to send in undercover officers without recommendations, and said that, in fact, we had been above board, had followed best business practices the entire time we've been there, and had absolutely no complaints, considering the concerns that they had when we opened. He said that none of those were founded whatsoever, and that's per the chief of police of Twin Cities.
Kim, what was the reaction from Corte Madera Mayor Carla Condone? What was her reaction to all this?
She was actually, during the last meeting, she was very dismissive to patients. We had several patients get up there, a few of whom actually even were tearing up, having to discuss their medical conditions in front of the council. And patients were limited to 2 minutes, as opposed to the PTA that were given 3 minutes to speak. And then they were really actually very, the mayor was very dismissive in cutting patients off when they were up there speaking. She seemed very annoyed at having to deal with it whatsoever.
Okay, and for the record, everybody listening needs to know that Mayor Carla Condone, is that how you pronounce her name, Kim?
Yeah, I think it's Condon.
Carla Condon, the mayor of Corte Madera, California, who only gave patients at this town council meeting 2 minutes to speak instead of the 3 minutes that she gave the so-called concerned parents trying to shut down these dispensaries. This Mayor Condon refused comment when contacted by the California Marijuana Report earlier this morning.
Well, it concerns me that so few parents made that much of a difference. I'm hoping that the council will see that just as many residents and patients are concerned about having access. So I think that I'm hoping that it's a numbers thing, that once they realize there's a larger need for this, that they'll kind of revisit it, you know, and take a second look at working with us.
Kim, you mentioned the police had sent in undercover decoys to your operation there in Corte Madera, California. These were minors that law enforcement sent in to set you up.
With recommendations and without, you know, minors with and adults without, to see if we would allow them in. And we've always turned away any patient that doesn't have a current recommendation or anybody. We've never allowed minors in.
I find that so disturbing that the police...
I think they do it at every collective. I know.
But, Kim, I find this very disturbing that the police would ever use a minor.
No, I believe they did it in Napa as well. When I had a collective in Napa, they were doing the same thing, too.
Unbelievable.
I think it's pretty prevalent, yeah.
Unbelievable.
The same way that they do for alcohol and cigarette things.
All right, Kim Pelham, you're the owner of Going Green in Corte Madera. You are now the victim of this cease and desist order on June 25th. What do you plan to do? Are you shutting down?
No, we're not closing down. No. Nope. We intend to be there as long as possible for patients in Marin County and particularly Corte Madera. And hopefully we're able to work with the city council to come to something that will work for patients to continue to have access there.
Kim Pelham, the owner of Going Green in Corte Madera, California, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you, Eric.
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 54 after the hour, and not so much a rant as it is get well wishes for our own engineer, Ganja John, who is probably had his eye removed today, had massive pressure in the eye, incredible pain. And that leads me to want to, well, first, before I get into the rant, if you have get well wishes for Ganja John, you can send them to the Normal Show Live address. It's 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161. Portland, Oregon, 97214. That's 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161. Portland, Oregon, 97214. So, yes, Ganja John is having his blind eye removed. It's been giving him incredible pressure and incredible pain. And this leads me to a little bit of a rant about pain. And I was there at the ICU yesterday with my wife and his wife visiting. And he's there in the ICU bed getting his dialysis done, right? Because, you know, he's got kidney failure too, right? So he's doing the portable dialysis machine. He's all hooked up. And he's in excruciating pain. You can just see it, and he's just awful, and it's just hurting and hurting and hurting. And so the doctor there who was attending, he says, "Doc, I need something for the pain." This doctor goes and gets an oxycodone pill and a Tylenol for his pain. Well, I can give you this oxycodone and a Tylenol. And John doesn't even look up at the guy. And those of you who know Ganja John, this is so John. John goes, "Doc, that would be like beaten off with no hands." So, obviously, now, this is what it leads me to, though, is that doctors always under-prescribing for pain, for people that are in severe pain, and treating as if people are fakers. Now, yeah, there are some people that are doctor shopping, some people who are addicts, but when it's a guy who's been getting kidney dialysis for, you know, a large portion of his life, and has probably been in more hospitals than any of us have ever seen, and I think I trust him when he knows what his pain level is and what he needs for that pain. So he's pleading with this doctor, "Look, I need either something intravenously or I need something topically. I mean, on my eye right now, I am screaming." I mean, he's just in awful pain. Finally, the doctor goes and gets into records and finds out that he could use fentanyl, right? Which heavy-duty painkiller. And introduced some fentanyl and also some lidocaine for his eye, directly on his eye. And that seemed to have helped him, and he was able to relax and so on. So I guess it's not really so much a rant today as just about this idea of treating people in pain. And that they're faking, and it extends to medical marijuana too. We're there at the ICU, and he's talking about how the pressure in his eye is up to an 86. Got up to an 86 pressure. Now, for comparison's sake, 5 is normal. Okay, so he was on an 86. The guys at OHSU that admitted him said, "This is the highest eye pressure we've ever measured." And OHSU is a teaching hospital, right? This is where they take the tough cases. This is the highest pressure they had ever measured. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, if only there were a remedy we could give him that has been shown to reduce intraocular pressure in patients with glaucoma. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, cannabis. So I'm thinking, you know, how am I going to get some cannabis to pour Ganja John? You can't talk about it. You can't mention it. You can't bring it up. I couldn't even talk about work while we were up there at the in the intensive care, in case the nurses doing the dialysis might hear and get him kicked off the dialysis treatment and get him kicked out of the transplant program because he's a medical marijuana patient. He's walking such a fine line here, trying to keep that secret. I know he's on a radio show for Normal, but still, the folks there at the dialysis and the folks in the kidney transplant, they don't know that he's a medical marijuana patient. He's got a Marinol prescription, and that's how he's getting past the tests. And to always live under that risk, to live under that fear, in addition to being blind in one eye, in addition to not having any kidneys, why do we make people suffer like that? Why do we make people have to jump through so many of these hoops? Well, it's because of this morality. It's because of this morality idea that people that are in pain are just seeking a high and not actually seeking medical relief for a serious condition. Well, I'm Radical Russ. I got to round things up. And Cannabis Carrie, she's on the line too. I wanted to give you a chance, Carrie, to say your get well wishes as well.
Well, I just want to say Ganja John is family to us now, and when he's hurting, we're hurting, and we all love him. We're pushing for him and can't wait for him to come back home.
All right. Send your get well wishes to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. I'll put that up in the chat room as well. Got more information tomorrow. Dr. Mitch on the show with your live Q&A on cannabis science and more stuff at our blog at stash.normal.org. Take care of each other, and until next time, see you later.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.